premillennialist. That's our eschatology. Now, we have other things that we don't agree with a lot of Baptists on. And that is, for example, at least I preach, and I think everybody agrees with me, that we are not pre-tribulation rapturist. The rapture is the taking out when Jesus comes. But you've got a pre-tribulation, you've got a mid-tribulation, and you've got a post-tribulation. Some are calling the mid-tribulation now a pre-wrath, which that's all right, but it gets too much of that gets too confusing for most people. So before the millennial reign, we believe we'll be here, that's when Jesus Christ will come. But before that, there will be a great tribulation, and then there will be his appearance, and then there will be the wrath of God, and then the millennial reign. Well, what about this millennial reign? That's why we are called premillennialists. Well, the word millennial is from the Latin, but the Greek is kilios, and it means thousand. So the millennial reign means there will be 1,000 years of literal physical reign, ruling and reigning on the earth, and Jesus Christ will be the king himself. Now, many, many people deny that. If they say that this is not going to happen, then they are amillennialist. We're premillennial because we believe that the Lord will come and then set up the millennial reign. Amillennialists just don't believe there's going to be a millennial reign. And then there are post-millennialists. And they say that mankind will get so good, the gospel will spread all over, and that will bring Jesus down to set up the millennial reign. So post means after. Well, we deny the last two of that. And then you have your so-called preterist who say that we're in the millennial reign right now. And they call that the gospel millennial. We had one right here that believed that. Well, when you go through especially Isaiah and Jeremiah, you find lots of things that, you know, they just can't be explained away. Look at Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that I, verse 1, the word that I, Isaiah, or as Ken Ham says, Asaias, I like Isaiah, the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There's other scriptures sounding very similar to that. With our vast knowledge of history, can you conjure up a time in which that was true? Nations beat their swords into plowshares, and they learn war no more. There ain't been a time then. Not at all. Then the amillennialists, mostly the reformers, they say, well, that's spiritual, and the gospel fulfilled that. And I say, huh? I don't know of anything that could compare with that. Look over at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord Tsidkenu, but the Lord our righteousness. That's his actual name, Tsidkenu. That T-S-I, there's a Hebrew letter, Tsadi. That's the letter that's there. But the Lord our righteousness. Now, some would say, well, that's when Jesus Christ came the first time. But that's not what it says there. Now, he did come to bring peace between his elect and God. But this looks to me like it's a physical peace on the world. Now, let's see. I got several more here in Isaiah before we leave there. Go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, what did he say in the Sermon on the Mount? The meek shall do what? Oh, does it look like that's kind of getting involved there? All right. Now, verse 5, and righteousness be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins, that's his kidneys, reins his kidneys. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. You know, an asp is a highly poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Surely we don't believe that's occurred today. Let's see. I've got all those in chapter 11. Go to chapter 19. Verse 24. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Are we there now? Israel, together with Egypt and Assyria, that'd be Iraq? Don't hardly think so. I got more scriptures there, but plenty more in the prophets. But what's going on here is, I believe it is prophecy telling of in the end times that there's going to be one king that's going to rule the world, and we find out it's Jesus Christ. Amen. It's also telling of world peace. Now you get these bumper stickers that says, they say, envision world peace. And I've often wondered, how can you do that? You have to deny reality to do that. Except now, from the scripture, we know that it's going to be because God's going to bring it. Well, look at Isaiah 33. I need to get there. Verse 24. He's talking about Zion, Jerusalem. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Now that may or may not be of the millennial, but it looks to me like it would definitely fit in there. Now look at chapter 35. Verse 4. Well, actually, this whole chapter could be gone. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. That's a deer. And the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And in the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the highway, or the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, through fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk thereon, or there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, what does that mean? When has that ever been fulfilled up to now? It's obviously has to have a future fulfillment. So there's in Habakkuk and again in Micah, but there's many other scriptures. Now, Isaiah, while we're there in Isaiah 65, towards the end of the book, Isaiah 65. Verse 20, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts. No, I'm in chapter 66. I need 65. What did I say? 65 is what I said. These old eyes, boy, I'll tell you. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. They either mean not much or they mean something. If they just simply mean, well, that's just when the Lord came and people get saved, that's all it's talking about. I don't believe that. Not at all. I believe there's something coming. All right, so we get those scriptures and others like them in the prophets. Now we get into the New Testament in the prophetic teachings. And let's just see if we can find anything specific for this. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Now the preterist and the amillennialist, they're going to say, oh, well, we can't go to the book of Revelation. It doesn't mean anything. That's what they say. It doesn't mean anything. It's all symbolic, and we're the only ones that can tell you what the symbols are. Sound like Mormons to me. So let's go to Revelation 20. Now, the book of the Revelation, and actually that's what it is the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's not a concealing, it is the revealing, all right? Then you get all the things that we would have encountered from chapter 1 all the way up to through the 19th chapter. And there's lots of stuff coming. Most of it bad. But then we get to chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then it goes 21 and 22, the new heaven and the new earth. That's the eternal ages. So what we have here is the final end to everything before the eternal ages. Now, is there something here that would fit with all of those scriptures we read in the prophets? Now, if you don't believe that the whole Bible is the inspired word of God, you might have a problem with that. But if you believe that the Bible is the word of God, that every word of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof and instruction, correction, and righteousness, if you believe that, then you probably wouldn't have much trouble with this. You probably would say, I know there's some answers to that because I know what book we're in. So, when I talk to people that are preterist, amillennial, I haven't talked to many people that were postmillennial. I talked to one fellow one time that was postmillennial, and he was getting rid of all of his books. And I bought some of them because they were good books. Anyway, but I mean, I think a postmillennial position, it's just kind of stupid. I mean, all you got to do is look around. This world is not getting better. Morally, it's not getting better. It's not getting better in any way, shape, or form that I can think of. He says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, first he said, well, it can't be no bottomless pit. You can't have a bottomless pit. That's what it says. And we got several references to a bottomless pit. Abusos in the New Testament, that's a Greek word. Abyss is where we get that word from. But Brother Brown described a bottomless pit very succinctly. The earth's a pretty big place. I know they say it's a small planet amongst all the big ones, but we ain't been them big ones. we just tell them by little flickers of light. So that's what we're. That's all we do. But the earth's pretty good sized place, isn't it? About 23,000, over 23,000 miles circumference, about 8,000 or 9,000 miles crossways diameter. That's pretty good size. How long does it take you to travel 8,000 or 9,000 miles? I mean, if you go east to west, straight on, to get to the other end of the earth, about 8,000 or 9,000 miles. If you go from north to south, about 8,000 or 9,000 miles, because pretty much we're on a globe. It's not flat, it's a globe. So how long does it take you to travel 8,000 or 9,000 miles in a car? That'd be like three trips east to west in a car, from Virginia Beach to California. That'd be 3,500 miles or something. There, back, and back. Man, take a pretty good while, wouldn't it? Now, if we've got a hole all the way through the globe, it's 9,000 foot hole. How long would it take you to fall? When you're free falling, Dave, how fast you go? 120 miles an hour. You might go a little faster than what you would on I-75. Now, whether you would keep that up all the way, I don't know. But even at a 120-mile fall, it's still going to take you a long time to fall 9,000 miles, isn't it? You can calculate that if you got your ciphering shoes on. So somebody's in the bottomless pit, even if there's middle ways and they're fallen. By the time the earth makes a revolution, they're still fallen. By the time they get there, they can't get there because it's fallen. Now they're going back. Be no problem at all. They've got a continuous falling. Would it be like that through eternity? It kind of looks to me like it would be. So is there a literal bottomless pit? I'm for literal here. A literal bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. They say, well, how ridiculous. The chain that he is bound up Satan with. We know Satan's a spiritual being, so you can't use a physical chain to bind up spiritual Satan. Really? God's chain will. The angel came down from heaven. Where'd he get his chain? He got it from heaven. That's God's chain. And I'll guarantee you God's chain will hold whoever he wants it to hold.
Amen.
Now, do I know what it's made out of? Don't have to. Is it made out of stuff we made out of? I wouldn't think so, probably. But whatever's made out of is what God made it. And it'll do what he determined now. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. So all these terms are legitimate terms for the devil. Well, the dragon, that old serpent. Well, what's dragon mean in the Bible? Well, look at the dinosaurs. Dragon is legitimate. A dragon is just as legitimate as serpent. It's in the same sentence. If he expects us to know what a serpent is, he expects us to know what a dragon is. Now, when you hear dragon by the world, dragons and unicorns, mythical creatures. No, they're not mythical at all. They're right here in the Bible. So, well, you know they couldn't be dinosaurs. It doesn't say dinosaurs. Well, we know the word dinosaur didn't come into existence till the middle 1800s. So what they call those creatures? They definitely existed. Dragons, behemoths, Leviathan. But that dragon is a name for the serpent. Back in chapter 12 we heard that. That old serpent, snake, where we find that in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, it was a real literal serpent, but Satan was inhabiting that serpent. As I say, Eve, what kind of person would you be if you'd be holding a conversation with a snake? Now, some of these women like snakes. But Eve should have known better.
Amen.
Snakes don't talk. Yes, that snake did talk. But something ain't jeeing and hawing here. Something wrong with this snake. He's talking. Snakes don't talk. Well, it's the devil talking through him. Now, which is the devil, Diabolos. Literally, diabolos, dia and balo, through throwing. That's literally what that word means. What is he? He's an accuser. He throws stuff at you. He throws everything he can at you. And he's Satan, Satanas. He is the deceiver. And he bound him. Now here we go. A 1,000 years. Well, when you talk to an amillennialist or a preterist, They said, oh, I knew you was going to Revelation 20. Yeah, and I ain't going nowhere else. I'm going to stay here for a while. I'm going to set up housekeeping right here in chapter 20. I'm going to roost here for a while. Well, that's all symbolic. Now, you can look that up. That thousand, that doesn't necessarily mean a thousand. Really? Let's look at it a little bit more. Now, you got the indefinite article, a thousand years. It doesn't give us what specific thousand years. Until we get verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till all the thousand years. Well, let's see. Reckon we can figure out which thousand years is John talking about. Well, there isn't but one you could be talking about. A thousand years of verse 2. So you've got an indefinite article with thousand, followed up with a definite article, which definitely shows you he's talking about the thousand years. A thousand year period of time should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. That is, the devil must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, what do we say about the millennial? Christ will come and literally rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Can we find something like that? I think we just found it, didn't we? Now, 1,000 years. Keeping in context, I think we're going to go back to the same 1,000 years of verse 2 and verse 3. But here we have the indefinite article, 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So there again, you got the indefinite article followed up by the definite article. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're not going to no other text. Right here. It's all confined right here. There's the indefinite article. And verse 7. And when the 1,000 years. Which one is that? The one in verse 6. Our expired Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as a sand of the sea. Then after that, we see the resurrection for the white throne judgment. Now, I think, obviously, what would you have to do to get rid of the 1,000-year millennial reign? You'd have to clip it right out of your Bible. Couldn't be any plainer. Here's what Strong's Concordance. Now, that's the one that's in the Sword Search, Strong's. I never did use Strong's until I got the Sword Search. I've got one someplace, but never did use. Never did really like it too much. I always use Young's Concordance, Robert Young. I've got that on my little stand there in my office. I still use it, so. But what they tell me is that Strong's Concordance, he says that that's an indefinite number. Now, he doesn't give any references. He just says of his own that word kilios in the Greek, and that's what the word is right here, that it means an indefinite number of years or of uncertain affinity is how he states it. In other words, it doesn't mean anything. You can see the word thousand and it doesn't mean anything. Well, Mr. Strong is an amillennialist. That means something. All right, so as I challenged the brother, I said, now here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you one question out of this whole thing. Because he said the same thing, standing right here. I'm sitting here and he's standing right there. I said, now you say that word thousand or kilios in the Greek can mean an indefinite number. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me a reference in the Greek New Testament, even the King James. I want you to give me a reference in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Of course, that would be the same word, kilios. And you're welcome to go not only to the Septuagint, or some call it Septuagint, but you're welcome to go on back further into the classical Greek, Homer, the Homerian Greek, or you're welcome to go on back even to the Attic Greek, or go on back even to the Sanskrit. And I want you to find me one reference of any time the word kilios is used for anything other than thousand. He left the church. I've never heard from him since. I have never heard another word from him. I think that's a reasonable request. If you're so certain of yourself that this doesn't mean what it says, and see, Strong doesn't give any reference at all to what he's saying. See, if he was serious about what he said, he should give me a couple of references in the Old Testament or the New Testament where the word thousand is rendered something else. Well, you've got the singular and the plural. The singular would be a thousand. Plural would be thousands. And that's all it has ever rendered. If what they're saying is true, it has never been observed by anybody. Right. In all the books. And see, I knew what I was talking about. I can go back pretty far right there in my library. And I've already been there. I know what it is. You're not going to find it. I didn't look very hard. I know you're not going to find it. Because that's what the word means. It means thousands. So, here's my, and I'm going to quit. You've got seven verses, Revelation 20, 1 through 7, and six times in seven verses, he states a thousand or the thousand. And any time he says a thousand, he identifies it by the next reference to the thousand, referring right back to the one he just talked about. It is absolute. I don't care what any of them say, all these premillennialists, all millennialists, there is a time coming of a thousand years when Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from this earth. Amen. And we'll be there with him. If you're saved, you'll be there with him. All right, let's go.